I want you to listen to this statement. And if this is the last word you hear out of my mouth this morning, don't you ever, ever forget it. Man exists to worship God. Put an exclamation mark on it. Bold face it. Put it in a bright color, whatever you need to do in your heart and your mind. Man exists to worship God. Worship does not exist for man. We've not learned that yet, folks, in the 21st century. Worship has become and still is a me thing. We tend to think it's all about us. It's all about what we think, what we feel. We don't like that music. We don't like the way he does that. We don't like the color of that part of the carpet. We don't like the lights. They're this, they're that. We. Do you hear me? Do you hear what I'm saying? Worship is not about me. Worship is not about you and what you want. It's not about who we are or what we have become. Worship is about God. And when the church of Jesus Christ learns what worship is, it'll transform churches all over this convention. We have gotten into worship wars. We have gotten into everything you can ever imagine. What if it's all taken away? What if all the lights are gone? What if this building blows up tonight? What if all the sound, you couldn't even hear me without it? What if we had no piano, no organ? What if we had nothing but us? Man exists to worship God. Don't you ever forget it. And may those words haunt you. And I use that word in a spiritual sense, obviously, until we come to grips that worship is about God. The people were in exile. Nebuchadnezzar had destroyed Jerusalem for the second time. Well, completely destroyed it in 587, 597 B.C. He tried it first and took the first group over to Babylon, or up to Babylon, however you want to say it. And then in 586, he came through and Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the temple of Jerusalem, literally. And the Jews found themselves in exile, and Isaiah is writing these chapters, in particular chapter 44, to the exiles, to those who are in essence in prison. And they've lost everything, folks. And a few weeks ago and last week, I compared it to the floods of Austell and Marietta and what we've experienced these last few weeks. I described it like tragedy. People lost their homes like never before. I mean, everything they have. I think of people in Clarkdale Elementary, those teachers who lost it all as far as their professional career or the tools whereby they can do their professional career. And so Isaiah comes to the people under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he's writing these words of encouragement of hope to the exiles, and he basically tells them, you've got to learn to worship God. Despite your circumstances, despite what's going on, despite the fact that you've lost it all, you must worship God. And he shows them three elements of that worship, and here they are. I'm going quickly, and I want you to listen quickly this morning because they're intended for that purpose. First, Isaiah tells them to look at God's title, his title. Now look with me. I put the scripture on the screen for you this morning. I want you to have your Bibles, and they're open to Isaiah chapter 44, and we're going to take these three verses one at a time. Thus says the Lord. Now, the Bible says in the Hebrew, thus says Yahweh. You remember a couple weeks ago, in these last few weeks, I've talked to you about the name of God given to Moses at the burning bush, and what that name translated, of course, means I am, but it's God's personal name. This is what he says. Thus says the Lord. In many translations, you will find this, and in other places, it's translated Lord God. But it is the term. It is the holy name of God, Yahweh. And again, as I've told you, I reiterate to you, I don't pronounce that name lightly. It is the only Hebrew four consonants. Hebrew's written in consonants. There are no vowels. But it's the only Hebrew word written without vowel pointing. Later, the vowels were added by a group of people called the Masoretes in about 500 AD. So we folks in the 21st century could take a stab at learning how to pronounce the words in Hebrew. But when you get to the holy name of God, you see YHWH. And we believe, we don't know for sure, we believe it is pronounced Yahweh. The modern day Jew will not pronounce that name. He will in turn use the term Adonai. Folks, we've got to understand that when we come into this house of worship, we are here to worship God as King of Israel, as King, as ruler, sovereign God, the one in control, no matter what. We are here to worship Him as Redeemer. I think, Bill, of your testimony, my brother, if God hadn't saved you, where would you be today? If God hadn't saved us, where would we be? Many of us in this house. People say, well, I'm not good enough to be saved. You won't ever be good enough to be saved. The Bible says there are none good, not even one. And then the Lord says, not only am I your King, not only am I your Redeemer, it says, I am the first and the last. That's in the book of Isaiah. The beginning and the end. Doesn't that sound like Revelation? I am the, what? Alpha and the Omega. Wow. And you know, God is the beginning and the end. And if you go back to the Hebrew understanding of those words, that means even before the beginning and even after the end, God is God, period. I'm the first and the last. And then he says, besides that, there's nobody but God. I love it. When we come to worship God, worship Him as King, worship Him as Redeemer, worship Him as the great I am, the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and realize He is the only God. In that society of a polytheistic world where little carved gods were everywhere, God is saying, listen, I am the God who will respond. I am your God, period. And He goes on to make that very clear to the people. Without question. So don't forget, when we come to worship, and worship is about us, understand we come to worship God and understand, ladies and gentlemen, His title and what it means. But then there's a second thing I want you to hear. It's found in verse 6 or 7. It's called His power. Not only do we talk about His title, and the titles that He gave, and we understand that. And Isaiah is telling the exiles, this is what you and who you must worship. The second thing you must understand is you must worship and understand who He is as God, as power. And look with me in verse 7 of chapter 44. He says, and who can proclaim it as I do? Let him declare it and set it in order for me. Since I appointed the ancient people and the things that are coming and shall come, let them show these things to me. Do not fear. Do not be afraid. His power. In other words, in this polytheistic world, God is saying, you just set up all your little bitty G-O-D-S without a big G. You set up all your little idols you set up as your God. And you bring them all, and let's put them together, and let's test them according to me as Yahweh God. Isaiah is telling the people. And here they are in exile. Here they are facing destruction and devastation. And he says, who of your gods can proclaim, can talk, can share like I can? Who can declare it and set it in order for me since I appointed the ancient people? And the things that are coming and shall come, let them show these to me. Wow. Folks, let me tell you something. Lest we're too quick to judge the Jewish folks in exile about their little gods, how many of us have our little gods? that we worship. And folks, it may be just about everything you can think about. It may be work, it may be finances, it may be things, but little gods, whatever that little god is, maybe it's even recreation, maybe that we have put before our personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. These folks in exile had so much on their mind, they didn't know where they were coming or going. It was all gone and they were there. And Isaiah comes back to them and says, you learn to worship God by understanding who God is, His nature, that is through His titles. And when you come to worship God, you come to realize the powerful God that you worship. He is God and He is God alone. And if God so chose, ladies and gentlemen, He could take from us the very breath we just took in. You know, in my old age, I've gotten to where, Lord, thank you for that last breath. Thank you that I can see with glasses. Thank you that I can taste food. Thank you that I can walk. You see? So often, we come to God as exactly as the Scripture says, as Abba Pater in the Greek, as Daddy. But so often we forget He's God, folks. He creates out of nothing. In our lesson this morning in Sunday school in Psalm 51, David the psalmist said to create in me, O God, a clean heart. And we discovered that that word create is the same word in Hebrew used in Genesis 1:1 called bara. The word bara is only used of God. No human can create like that, because bara means to create out of nothing. And so when David cries out to God in his confession and he says to Him, create in me, Lord Jesus, literally out of nothing, create in me a clean heart. Only God can create that clean heart. That's His power, and that's what you and I come and we worship. And folks, when you come in that spirit to worship God, you won't leave here like you got here. Why? Because you've been in the presence of God. Can you imagine? God lets us come into His presence in worship. And God is here. Would you agree? God being here, that makes where we are what? Holy. Sometimes we forget the promise of God, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Here's the third thing I want you to see before we leave this morning. And Isaiah told the people, yes, I want you to understand and see His title. I want you to understand and know the power of God. But when you come to worship God alone, I want you to understand His promise. Now look at verse 8. Do not fear. Do not be afraid. Have I not told you from that time, perhaps, and I believe he's referring to the time of the covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he declared it, you are my witnesses. Wow. Is there a God beside me? Indeed, there is no other rock. I know not one. I want you to look with me at those words. Do not fear, nor be afraid. Folks, the word for fear there in the Greek, in the Hebrew, is a word that means scared to death. Have you ever been just terrified? Maybe you've been in your house and you heard a squeak or crack or something, and you just knew somebody was in that house, and all of a sudden fear came over you. You ever felt that? That's a scary, no pun intended, feeling. But then it says, do not fear nor be afraid. The word fear there literally means to be stopped, gripped, terrified. But then it says, don't be afraid. But have you ever had that point where you come to that, you're so afraid, you literally are frozen. You cannot even react. You are so terrified. And God's saying, I want you folks in the exile, I want my people to understand here. Don't you be afraid. Don't you get frozen, paralyzed with fear. Satan wants to paralyze every one of us in here. He wants to scare us to death. And I don't know about you all, Satan does a good job of that with me. He's good at terrifying me sometimes. And then Satan says, Randy, I got you exactly where I want you. And that's exactly when Isaiah said, folks, it's time to worship. It's time to worship. The title, the power, and the promise of God. Now let me close it this way. Here's something I want you to do, not for me, but on the basis of this message and what we have sung throughout the entire worship service, what Clay and Karen's duet was all about, what Bill's testimony proclaimed from this pulpit. Most of us do not go to the mall or to work or to the gas station or to the grocery store or to recreational activities to find a penny. But have you ever been on the parking lot of a store somewhere, or maybe out by your workstation or wherever you are, you're walking by and all of a sudden, oh, there's a penny. You ever done that? Well, that's a serendipity. Hopefully you didn't go there to find that penny. If you do, you don't have to go. Somebody will donate a penny to you today, you know. But here it is, and you pick that up. And you look at it, and most of us, it's okay. You can put it in your pocket. You found the penny. It's on the parking lot. You know what I'm asking God for all of us this week? You really don't think I'm flipped this time. I'm asking God to send you worship pennies. Not a fortune. I'm not asking that. I'm asking just one or two, three, four, whatever. So that this week, wherever you go, whatever you do, God will just interrupt your day with a penny. Now, folks, I don't have time, nor could I, find where all of you are to go plant these pennies. So I'm not going to do that. But when God gives you a worship penny this week, wherever it does, over these next few weeks, I just want you to reach down and pick it up. And as you hold it in your hand, don't stand out in front of cars or anything like this, or be in harm's way. You think of the title of God, He's my King, He's my Redeemer. Whoa. You think of His power. Man, He let me live today. I can walk. I can taste. I can see. Thank you, God. And then you realize that He's given to me His promise. No matter what Satan wants to drive at you today, Randy, don't you be afraid. Don't you let him paralyze you with fear. My prayer is that God will send us worship pennies this week. All in His own good time and good place. And the ones as you see them, you'll pick them up. And what will you do? You'll worship God right there in the school parking lot. You'll worship God getting out of your car, going into the office. You'll worship God at the ballpark, watching your kids play ball. You'll worship God on the church parking lot, picking up a worship penny and letting God remind us, as Isaiah did the Israelites themselves, learn to worship God and realize it's all about God. Save that penny. Not on a card, just wherever you want to. Make your little box, worship pennies. And people, when you go in your office or you go into school or you go in where you're working this week, hey, just found my worship penny. I can hear somebody say, what? What'd you find? Oh, let me tell you about a worship penny. Here's what it is. This is what happens. And this is not out of somebody's book. This is just me doing this. Because I believe we need to be reminded throughout the week of what we looked at this week in the Word of God. So my prayer for you, and I want you to pray for me, that God will allow me to find that serendipity, that worship penny, that unexpected find. And you know what? I've done this before in my life, and those worship pennies usually show up at times when you need them the most. And I'd just love to hear your testimony of what God does in showing us all how to worship God. Do not fear. Don't be afraid. And look at that. There's no other rock. I know not one. Wow. What worship? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the time that we can come together. We can sing praises to you. Father, we can hear testimonies from this platform. We can hear the word proclaimed. But Lord, we know now we got to respond. Worship always required a response from the people. The Jews had to respond. And now your message to Olive Springs is we have to respond. So what do we do with this? There are many of us, and if not all of us, in the sound of my voice, Lord Jesus, we need to do everything we can humanly do to make worship all about God like never before. And Lord, I thank you for the worship we experience. I thank you for the fact that we can enjoy music. We have a piano. We have an organ. We have a choir. We have those leading them. I thank you, Father, we have lighting, such good lighting that lights the way, lights this pulpit so even I can see and others. We have such a beautiful place you've given us. We have men and women, those who operate all of this sound, all of this lighting, all of this electronic equipment. And I know their hearts, Father. We bring it all to you in worship. We just bring it all to you. And if it wasn't there, if we didn't have this beautiful place to come, we'd bring it all to you, Lord Jesus, our lives. So as we close this worship service about worship, it's all about you. As Peter stood on that water and looked in the eyes of Jesus, may we do the same. But, oh, Father, help us to realize the minute we take our eyes off of Jesus, we'll begin to sink. But I remember the words of Peter, Lord, help me. I pray this morning, many of us in this house will just simply say those words, Lord, help me.